Hey, Renter Retires, it's Adam Schrader here with another episode. I am joined today by the Director of Investor Education at PassiveInvesting.com. That is Whitney Elkins Hutton. And we're going to talk about starting your real estate journey. But Whitney, thank you for joining me today.
Yeah, pleasure. I'm looking forward to this.
Absolutely. So just start off and tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, how did you get started in real estate investing? What are you doing today? Just run us through a brief high-level 30,000-foot view of that, because I want to dive into more of your story later, so you don't need to give all the details out now. But kind of, how did you get started? What was your first deal, and what are you doing today?
Yeah, so I'm the Director of Investor Education here at PassiveInvesting.com, and we're a private equity firm based out of the Carolinas focusing on essentially turnkey real estate for investors that want to invest passively in multifamily, self-storage, express car washes, and real estate debt. That's what I'm now. That's not how I started off in real estate. I didn't get a real estate degree. I actually started off in med school and public health, eventually transitioned in public health. And so I was working for the CDC back in 2002 as a contract employee and traveling 80 hours a week. I mean, in 2002, mind you, it was post 9/11. So we were chasing down, you know, possible anthrax and smallpox exposures across the United States and training up employees, public health employees on how to identify and deal with these biological, radiological, and chemical agents. And I bought a house with a significant other during this timeline too, but as if my job weren't enough to keep me busy. And that relationship fell apart. And a month later, I had a house. And I thought the house was going to sink me, but I was scrappy. I stuffed it full of roommates. Needed a deep rehab. I mean, psychedelic daisies painted on the wall, you know, green shag carpet, you know, you name it.
All things,
you know, the value add, right? But that wasn't in my vocabulary. So I paid my friends in pizza, sushi, beer, and we rehabbed the property using the Home Depot 123 book. Remember, YouTube did not exist back then. And 11 months later, I sold the house. And at that point in time, it's actually probably my number one investing mistake, because I walked away from the table with $52,000 in capital gain. And that's when I realized I hadn't been paying for anything this whole entire time. I'm like, whoa, hold on, hold the boat. I made more in this one transaction on my nights and weekends and, you know, having other people help me do the work than I did in my day job that had me doing all the work and traveling full time. And so I was completely bitten by the real estate bug. Now, you and I were talking before the show, you know, we can dive in on all the rabbit holes of my journey, because although I might have had a home run on that first deal, not every other deal went nearly as smooth as that first one. There was one where a bus fell into the roof of the house. And yes, I did say a bus fell into the roof of the house. But long story short, real estate has been, you know, one of those things that has taught me that I could unhook the value or income that I created from the time I spent. And it's something that I could do. I could scale up. I didn't need a degree. I could scale up as I went. And so for me, I started off building out 36 unit rental portfolio, you know, six and flipping over $5 million in real estate and transitioning into buy and hold multifamily properties myself, and then going in partnership, general partnership on 10 deals. Raising capital in over 29 deals. And then eventually that's led to where I'm at today. Now, that is 22 years of experience in a little nutshell.
So when you got started, you know, tell us a little bit, was the second deal the one with the roof issue? We'll call it the little roof issue, or was that a future one, or kind of when did you hit your first roadblock? What was that first roadblock?
I had roadblocks on the first property, but I think the one that really made me question whether real estate was for me was on the second deal, even, because the roof falling or the bus falling into the roof of the property, that happened within 24 hours after close. And it was nail biting close. Like, I was like, man, this is tough. I didn't really hit the really questionable obstructions until I started building that 36 unit rental portfolio. Now, you asked me, like, you know, was it that roof Do you know how many roof problems I've had of owning 36 single family rentals? I've had a lot. I had one where the roof ripped the spot open on the roof, and raccoons love to party, man. They did a number on that house to the point where we had to, in the middle of the rehab, and we had to strip out all the drywall again and redo it all over. So he paid. Not once, but twice. But the one with the boss, the story that everybody just kind of scratches their head about, that was my second property. And that was, it's just purely, you know, I'm sitting there looking at this bus sitting on top of a retaining wall behind the house. The seller wanted me to fix it. Just get my neighbor to move the bus. It's all good. Retaining wall, problem solved. We'll mend the current retaining wall. And I think he had something to prove to his fiance. But long story short, a $30,000 retaining wall went in. I didn't have to pay for it. And within 24 hours of close, my neighbor's bus moved back in on top of that retaining wall. And the new bomb-proof retaining wall gave way, and the bus toppled into the roof of the house.
I'm sure your insurance provider loved you immediately with that. And rates probably went up a little bit after that.
I had sold the property, mind you. Remember this. Like, I had just signed on the dotted line. This was on a Friday night, and I got the call on a day Saturday from my realtor. And I'm like, am I on the hook for anything? And he was like, no, just thought you'd like to know. I mean, you could hear the police in the background, the yelling and cussing, because the person living in the bus did not want to come out of the bus, even though he was laying into the roof of the property.
So when you hit that, you know, when you hit your hurdles, what kept you moving forward? Because as we were discussing beforehand, a lot of people come into real estate investing, they're gung-ho, you know, they're gonna, even our investors, you know, they come in, the property's completely rehabbed, they're ready to go, things are going really well, you know, people come into BRRRS and they hit that first equity, and then something happens, you know, a, you know, tenant turn that isn't very pretty, or something breaks, you know, a year in, and they have to spend $600 on a repair, maybe even $1,000, and they start thinking, is it worth it? You know, oh my goodness, this is the horror stories you hear. Real estate's, you know, isn't the panacea that I thought it was going to be. Is it worth it to continue investing? Why did you continue investing even whenever you hit these stumbling blocks?
You know, for me, there was a very vital mindset shift. And it's something that I help, you know, my coaching clients really wrap their head around. You know, I actually have a coaching, you know, program with ashwealth.com. But when you invest in stocks, bonds, and mutual funds, it's not that you don't have any obstacles. It's just that you outsourced that and made it somebody else's obstacle to deal with, right? You have to write out volatility, inflation, taxes, you have to write out all those things. You still have challenges, but as far as, like, you know, nobody's calling you in the middle of the night. Nobody's bugging you saying, oh, by the way, Tesla, you know, Elon Musk tweeted again on Tesla, and stock prices are, like, you know, going all over the place. You know, you've outsourced that, not even liability, that responsibility. So when you start investing in real estate, for me, it's a complete mindset shift. You're taking control, and you get rewarded for taking that control. You get rewarded for handling these problems. Now, for some people, they're like, rewarded, maybe I'm only making $200 to $400 a month on a single family property. Yes, and think of all equity you're getting during your hold period, the leverage you're getting by the loan, the tax benefits you're getting on that. You're getting a lot of reward, and you have to, you know, with that reward comes the responsibility, of taking ownership of, you know, how you're going to steer that ship. So, you know, for somebody who just never wants to solve a problem ever, maybe real estate isn't for you. But there's a real power there if you're willing to kind of step into that, you know, ownership. Now, you can do it through turnkey, buying turnkey. We do turnkey real estate, on a larger institutional, model. And so, we still work with our investors to help them understand the investment, all the obstacles that are in the market today, how to navigate those. But at the end of the day, I think when you ask, how was I mentally able to kind of push through this? It's realizing that if I wanted to have that time freedom, that control freedom, and financial freedom, it wasn't going handed to me. I had to take control and I had to do it myself. And that's, you know, I don't know of many, any people that have just been handed the keys of the kingdom and asked to do nothing, you know, in return.
Yeah. It's almost like you were saying with the stock market. I mean, you can't imagine putting, let's just say, even 40 grand into the stock market and never seeing your stock go down $1,000, you know, $600. It doesn't happen, but it actually comes out of your wallet with real estate, which can, you know, make it feel a lot more real than just sitting there watching it on, you know, on the screen and not worrying about it until you sell. So that's
there's ways to kind of negate that. And I see this with investors that are just getting into real estate. And quite honestly, even the passive investors that we work with that, you know, invest in our deal, have to have reserves. That's what the reserves are there for. Whatever your reserve allowance is going to be, it has to be above and beyond just setting aside the, you know, whatever that your lender requires you to have, the 2 to 3 months of principal and interest. No, you just set aside, you know, a bucket of reserves. When I, you know, every single family property I closed on, I immediately set aside $5,000 in reserves per property for two reasons. One, my deductible is $2,500. I could immediately pay that. If something happened the next day, I could pay my deductible. And then, you know, the other $2,400 or $2,500 would go through, like, if I immediately, like, had a vacancy, I could fill the property for 6 months. You know, did I like it? Would it steam? Yeah, of course. But I knew I could I also had in my underwriting model ways to make up that capital over time, right? I was setting aside, when I had cash flow coming in, I was setting this allowance for CapEx and reserves. You know, so if I had an outflow, like I had a couple of break-ins in my property where the HVAC and the water heater got stolen. Well, you know, once I got it re-tenanted, like my cash flow coming in, that reserve allowance go and, you know, bolster back up that account. Once I hit my reserve level, anything above that was, I don't want to say free money. It's for free money, like money for me to go back and invest with. But yeah, I think that's the number one mistake that I see people making, is not setting aside those reserves quick enough to be able to sleep well at night. I remember having, I guess it was like in not during COVID, it had been before COVID, but I remember one of my early vacancies, and it was during the winter time, like happened in December in Indiana, and I'm like, we're not going to find a tenant for 4 months. And I remember waking up at 1 o'clock in the morning, and like, I was like, that's it. I got to sit down and calculate, how much is this property really going to cost me if like nobody is interested in renting until May? And by the time I like penciled out the numbers, I was like, oh, I got double that in my reserve account. And I went back to sleep and had a peaceful night's sleep. But I think it's, you know, you have to be really intimate with those numbers and make sure that you're planning accordingly.
Yeah. So you mentioned that you coach real estate investors now. What are some of the big tips that you give them? Is it just the reserves, or kind of what are the big concerns that you're hearing from them? And what are some of the tips that seem to, you know, assuage their fears?
Oh my gosh, there's so many. So, you know, how I work with investors on a one-on-one basis is, you know, first we dive in and shore up your personal, situation. So think about it. If multi-generational wealth, like if we're a game, right? You have to understand the objective of the game. Like what are we trying to do here? Okay. In this case, to win at wealth, you're trying to get enough income coming in to float your expenses in the lifestyle you want, without having to work, you know, in perpetuity, do what you want, when you want, with who you want. So that's the lens we start off with. And then we go into like, what are the rules of that? Like, okay, there's a set of rules, right? If anybody first started playing Monopoly or Pan or Seven Wonders, you can wrap your head around the objective, but then you understand the rules. Okay. You're like, you know what you can and can't do, but then you got to understand the strategy. And so we start off there. And we start off with somebody's initial situation. And the reason why I really drive that home is because this makes them, If you start there, if your ship is right at home, your personal finances, you're now an unstoppable investor. Okay. You know, everything else is a tactic. Investing in real estate is a tactic for building wealth. And so many people dive into tactics, but they forget about the actual game and the rules and the strategy in order to win the game. And so as far as like what people are concerned about, I think one, especially in this market, rampant inflation, recession, the fears that I run across with the people that I work with, both at passiveinvesting.com, but also in my private work, is people are just don't actually understand the rules of the game and how to invest based on principle. Because if they did, they'd understand that this is a unique buying time. Now they've got to understand how to, you know, do it safely, either vet the operator, or in this case, if they are the operator buying their own portfolio, they've got to be knowledgeable. They've got to be in the right market. They have to have the right team, and they have to understand how to underwrite the deal and be conservative in their underwriting their deal. This is not the time to pencil out. Your realtor might tell you 3% vacancy. Double that, triple that, stress test that property. Okay. They might tell you that, you know, you will never be vacant more than this, the thing that I heard all the time. Property manager will say, oh yeah, we can have a tenant placed within 30 days. Okay. But 8% is 2 months, right? Like, so, you know, that, or 8% is not even that. It's just a little over a month, right? Like, it's, so when people put vacancy allowance at 5%, I would always double and triple that. Stress test your numbers, you know, understand what the worst case scenario is. And then set aside those reserves. And so there's a lot of different mechanics that go into this, but really at the end of the day, boils back down to principle. Understand the principles on how to invest, how to preserve your capital, how to create cash flow, how to create equity growth, how to utilize tax benefits. You know, it, and stop clicking on headlines and investing according to headlines. Oh my gosh. That's the number one piece of advice. Guys, ditch your CNBC subscription or whatever you're doing. Like, let's go back to principles and understand that this is actually, it's a time to be methodical, but this is an amazing time to continue and build wealth.
Now, when you say unique buying opportunity, are you talking about kind of the higher interest rates pushing out the owner occupieds, giving investors more time to like do due diligence and vet out teams and everything? Or what exactly are you referring to when you say unique buying opportunity?
Well, right now, I mean, even if you just look at the macroeconomics here, you know, and depending on which set of stats you read, I'll refer back to Marcus and Millichamp, Johnny Chang, their topics there, you know, gave a wonderful presentation a couple of months ago. And in that presentation, he showed data that we're minimally underbuilt in housing by 5.3 million units. Right now, there's stats that they were upwards to 9 million units underbuilt. And that's today. Now, think about what the Fed's done. They've increased the interest rate so high that they've actually stalled new starts. Now, so you might have seen a lot of building in your community, but guess what? There's no new building happening. Okay. You know, once those units are delivered and absorbed, it's going to take a while to start the machine. Why are we 5.3 million, million units underbuilt? We did that exact same thing in 2008. We stalled the machine and it took about 12 years to kind of get restarted again. So this is a unique opportunity. It's real estate's regional. Right. So what I'm saying here may not apply in San Francisco or City right now, but like, you know, we love personally a passive investing. We love the areas like in the southeast part of the United States. I mean, but, you know, you want to be in markets where people are moving to, big businesses moving their headquarters to, incomes are growing, household incomes are growing, the housing prices are growing. The fundamentals are just putting a lot of pressure in favor of real estate still being one of those top asset classes to perform. And I mean residential real estate. Now, other fundamentals here, we've got baby boomers that are downsizing. Okay, they're moving out of their large homes into smaller homes. So there's a lot of competition here. We're seeing people move out of urban centers into secondary and tertiary markets. And so there's still going to be a lot of continued pressure on housing that is going to continue to drive up rents. So you can only take advantage of that if you own the property that renter needs. Okay, so if you're sitting on the sideline, you can't take advantage of it. We're also seeing one of the biggest wealth transfers occur in the United States. I think the last stat I saw was $84 trillion that is being transferred from millennials to, baby boomers to millennials over the next 10 years. Again, this is this isn't buy any piece of real estate. This is buying the right piece of real estate in the right markets, and you can take advantage of these macroeconomics. Yes, interest rates are high in relative to where they are like two and a half, 3 years ago, sure. But if you can get a property now that covers itself and, you know, maybe even cash flows right now in a good solid market where these trends are playing out, you're set up very well to take advantage of that.
Yep, absolutely. So you mentioned the Southeast. We're doing a lot in the Southeast as well. What are there any particular markets that you're really loving right now that you recommend people check out? And also, when you're going around and researching these markets, what are some of the, you know, sites you're looking at? Are you looking at just the census website, or there's particular sites that you recommend people check out for vetting out markets? Or just dive into that a little bit, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah. So on, for what I do with passiveinvesting.com, you know, when we research our markets for multifamily, we're looking at, you know, all those metrics I mentioned before. You know, population, you know, where are they moving to? Where are jobs moving to? We were looking for areas where poverty is coming down, crime's coming down, incomes are going up. We're looking at data from like CoStar and Yardi, and those are data sites that we need to pay for in order to get access to. You can get some free annualized reports on those as well for anybody here that's doing like small multifamily deals. Now, on a single family front, because I would imagine, you know, a lot of people here are probably doing more single family investing or smaller investing. Those ports are large and can be extremely wieldy. So there's amazing sites out there like citydata.com. So city-data.com or city-data.gov. There. One of the two. That's a great site. All these things pull from, the government, Census Bureau website is what they do. All those data sites, they pull from the same place. One of my favorite sites that I like looking at is called niche.com, N-I-C-H-E.com. Because just for somebody who's not data oriented, like that gives like great like gradings on A, B, C, D, and E, color coding. Like it's awesome. For somebody who's more visual like that. So, but you know, doing your due diligence there. Now, what those two lack is prediction or showing you the trends on housing starts and infill in those areas. So that might be something that you have to go to your local government, Better Business Bureau, stuff like that to really understand. To really understand what permits have been pulled. Is there a new development going in, like, you know, multifamily, or, you know, did somebody buy a chunk of land and they're going to throw up like a build to rent community of 150 properties? Those are the things you're going to have to do some digging and research on, to fully understand that part of the picture.
So I don't think you touched on, what are the markets you're excited about investing in right now?
Oh yeah. So, I'm excited like a lot across a lot of markets personally, you know, several markets, you know, here in Colorado, we're seeing it, you know, big housing pinch here, especially in mountain communities. There's affordable housing that's needed in mountain communities. I know most people hold short-term rentals in the housing, for housing up in the mountains, but you can still make great return and do a service by holding it like a long or a midterm rental in mountain communities around here. Arkansas is another kind of hotbed. In certain parts of Arkansas, there's a lot of development going on there. From what we do at passiveinvesting.com, we love South Carolina, North Carolina, Atlanta, Tennessee, specific metros would be Greenville, Charlotte, Raleigh, Durham, the Research Triangle area. There's a lot of markets to dig into. There was a neat article, I think back in July, from Axios. And it was really interesting because it said the six states that make up the Southeast corridor of the United States had such a significant GDP growth that they outpaced the entire Northeast. Now let that settle for a second. What is that telling you? Where people are moving to, where jobs are moving to, where incomes are growing right now. So, but like everything's a trend. At some point in time, it'll reverse. Okay. But right now, you want to be riding the trend if you can.
Yep. Absolutely. So, in regards to your passive investing, we are a turnkey company with, primarily single family. You're talking about turnkey for multifamily. That's not something you hear very much. A lot of times when people think multifamily, it's about, buying from a mom and pop who don't know what they're doing and doing a massive value add and getting in that way. Tell us a little bit about how your model works, because that seems to be when people say, I got all these great returns, it's from that value add. So tell us a little about how turnkey in the multifamily space actually works.
Yeah. So, really the term that I would put here is a syndicated asset. So what we are doing is that we're buying a multifamily building in the Charleston, South Carolina area. And maybe the building's 150 units or more, $60 million, right, is the cost of the building. We'll go pool investors to come together and partner with us on that deal. Now, what makes it turnkey is that the investor performs due diligence on us as an operator. They perform due diligence on the market, say Charleston, and then they perform due diligence on the asset. And then past that, once they place their investment alongside us, their day-to-day responsibilities are done. So what we do is that we actually help our investors invest alongside of us in this asset. And, we perform the day-to-day operations on that asset. And then we distribute a return. We split in the cash flow and we split in the equity return. And so it's not like we are doing what you're doing, putting together a multifamily building and then saying, hey, do you want to buy an $80 million project? Most of us don't have that cash sitting in the bank to close on something like that. But we are, pooling investor capital to where, we can help our investors take advantage of this larger institutional A-grade asset to achieve cash flow, equity growth, tax benefits, and most importantly in this market, capital preservation.
All right. Well, Whitney, thank you so much. The website that we want to send today is passiveinvestingwithwhitney.com. That's passiveinvestingwithwhitney.com. I believe you said there's some goodies on there. Tell us a little bit about what people are going to find on that website.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you'd like to learn more about what it is, what we're doing, or if you wanted to just connect with me personally, go to passiveinvestingwithwhitney.com. I've got a free ebook there for you, Passive Investing Made Simple. And then you can also snag some time on my calendar and we can talk all things passive investing.
All right. Well, again, thank you so much. This is Whitney Elkins Hutton with passiveinvesting.com. The website again is passiveinvestingwithwhitney.com. If you have any questions for us, you can email them to podcast@renttoretirement.com. That's podcast@renttoretirement.com. Don't forget to check out, if you're looking at the single families, don't forget to check us out at renttoretirement.com. You can schedule a time to speak with us. You can see all of our inventory there. Really appreciate the time you spent educating yourselves today. We'll talk to you on the next episode.